Progress.
Okay, gute Wach. Shalom Aleichem. So we're in Chavis HaLevavos, Shama Bitochen, Perek Dalin. The section that starts with Pirush HaChelek HaRavi. We're moving on to another part of this broad discussion here is about how to apply Bitochen to all the various areas of life. And here we're moving into a delicate area. And that is, how do you apply bitachon in avodas Hashem, in mitzvahs? To bring out the question in a very simple kind of way, just like the discussion about, can a person say, well, I'm going to jump off the roof, and if Hashem wants me to die, I'll die, and if not, not. Right, we already discussed that. Right, when it comes to health, etc., it doesn't work that way. So here the question is, when it comes to mitzvahs, kind of this a similar discussion. What if a person says, "Look, Hashem wants me to make the right choices, I'll make the right choices," or "Hashem wants me to do this, I'll do it." Sometimes Hashem. That's in a broad way what this discussion is. Obviously, we're going to see that it gets more subtle than that. So let's see. Now, okay. Instead of me elaborating too much, let's hear what the Chavis HaLevavos himself says. So Perush HaChelek HaRavi, the fourth field of life where we'll be discussing how you apply Bitochen, is B'nyanei Chavis HaLevavos V'Ha'Ivarim, is when it comes to mitzvahs, external mitzvahs or internal mitzvahs, that they only affect the person himself. Meaning there are mitzvahs that affect other, that are interpersonal, and then there are mitzvahs that are purely personal, like versus, let's say, tzedakah, or teaching Torah, or other such mitzvahs that are involve other people. Now we're going to focus on mitzvahs that only, that don't involve anybody else. Like what? Katzoim. Fasting, tefillah, sukkah, lulav, tzitzis, keeping Shabbos, keeping Yom Tov, not doing himana min averus, not doing any of the personal averus, not wearing shatnez, not eating treif, etc. The kol chavis halavavos, and also all of the internal mitzvahs, right, emunah, bitachon, etc. Asher lo ta'avorna el zulos, right, that don't have anything to do with somebody else. It's just personal. The ta'alos of a nizkam yuchad is boy, and any of their positive or negative impacts, meaning the positive impacts of a mitzvah, the negative impacts of an avera, are only pertain to you. Mibli shar bnei adam, nothing to do with other people. Like for example, the positive impact of the mitzvah of tzedakah impacts the ani. The negative impact of doing an avera like murder is also going to affect another person. So we're going to talk now about the averus that don't. Let's say eating treif or keeping Shabbos. Okay? So how does this work? So on the one hand, these are things that are put into your bechira. On the other hand, bitachon encompasses everything. You can't do anything without Hashem wanting it to happen, without Hashem deciding that it should happen. So how does this work? How do we approach this? So, the way we apply bitachon in this areas is mashani mevayaraisa, as we'll now explain. And here we see his trepidation as he feels and expresses that he's heading into a very delicate area. So, listen, just get a little bit of the Chavis HaLevavos' personal anav and yira shamayim here. Umelikimish al, and I'm asking of Hashem. To enable me to be on the right track, berachamo, in His mercy, like the Chavis HaLevavos is putting in its tefillah, that to get this right, because of the delicate nature of this discussion. So the way it works is as follows: Himase ha'avoda ve'avera, a mitzvah. Or an avera, lo yitachnu la'adam ki imbi yikavetz shloisha dvarim. In his usual style, he's very methodically breaking everything down to its elements, and he says, you do doing a mitzvah or doing an avera involves a three-step process. What's a three-step process? So echad habechira b'libo, deciding that you want this act. Okay. That could still be in a theoretical way. I would love to give tzedakah. I would love to give $50 to tzedakah. Asheni, the next stage is hakavana v'haskama la'asos ma'aser bochan. The next stage is the decision to actually do it. Meaning, the first stage is the desire to do it. This is what I would like, desire. And number two is, I decided I'm going to do it. And very often, a person can have one without the other. We just want to break this down clearly. A person can say, at some point in life, I would like to give $100 to tzedakah. It's not going to be now, probably not next week either, but I'd like to do that at some point. That's the Bechira B'libay, but it's not yet the Kavanah and the Haskama Lasis. He would like it. He has that desire. He's choosing this, but he hasn't yet decided to do it. And then the decision to do it is, okay, no, when I get home, I'm going to go to my drawer and take out the $100 and give it. It's a step further, okay? We might put it differently if we want to. One is in the realm of Ratzon, right? The desire to do it. The other is the realm of the Bechira, the actual decision to do it. It's terming it a little differently, but just for our purposes to have it clear. Vashlishi, then there's stage number three after the decision. Sheyishtadel ligmar ha-maiseh be'evar v'anirin. You have to actually put your body to work to actually do it. V'yitzi'ehu el geder ha-maaseh. And to actually bring it out in reality, physically. That's right? Have the decision, I would like to give $100 to tzedakah. And then there is, okay, the decision, I'm going to. And then there is actually getting up and going to do it. Oh, okay. So this is why, very good. You already you picked on the nuance of where he's trying to get. This is where he's headed. We're going to be talking about each of these three is another level of the avoida. Let's see. Now, the things that are completely in our hands, that are not outside of our realm, are the desire to do it, whether a mitzvah or an avera, v'kavon v'haskama al ha'maaseh, or the practical decision to do it. That bitachon in this realm is ridiculous. Because the decision of whether to serve Hashem or to rebel against Hashem, he puts into our hands. Like, so again, this goes in both directions. Person says, I want to do this avera. I want to go buy myself a good sizzling pork chops. And if this is what I want to do, and this is what I decided to do, apparently Hashem isn't opposed, because he could keep me from doing it. So I go with a lot of emuna to that restaurant, and I enjoy a good portion of pork. And I say, look, it was up to Hashem. So he says, that's ridiculous. Nothing doing. Hashem, it's not going to fly when you come to Shemayim. Because the decision of whether to do the ma'isa is yours. Okay, now it also goes this way with the mitzvah. Don't say, right, we said before, I don't feel like giving any of my money. If Hashem decides to plant such a desire in my mind, okay, great, but it's up to Hashem. So, Kamosha Kosovo, like the Pasuk says, you shall choose life. But what does Hashem not necessarily put into our hands? And this is what Mrs. Shvei brought up. What Hashem doesn't necessarily put into our hands is Hashlamas Hamaise Ba'avoida Uba'aveira. The ability to actually get it done, that Hashem doesn't necessarily put into your hands. You can have all the desire in the world to do it. True, sincere desire. And then Hashem says, I'm not necessarily going to allow it to happen.
So I understand that for number three, but what about number two? You could desire to give $1 million to tzedakah, but you can't practically intend to do it if you don't have $1 million in your bank account.
Right. Not number two is somewhere in the middle. Uh-huh. But yet we'll see how it's relevant. We're going to get to it. There's actually some very profound points here, and points that can really prompt significant growth in our lives in different ways. We'll see. We'll see. So the ability to actually get it done, that is up to Hashem. Sometimes they can depend on external factors. Here, for example, person decides he wants to give $1 million and he is really bent on doing it, but that might depend on external factors, such as, have you got it? Do you have access to $1 million? So, sometimes the external factors are available, sometimes they're not. So now, just before reading further, even though he hasn't finished developing the point, I want to get ourselves into the discussion in a more practical way, so it shouldn't stay abstract, even though we're not really finished. We're still in mid-sentence. But let's bring out the point that he's saying. There was a very inspiring ma'aseh with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter founded what was pretty much the forerunner of the contemporary kollel. It was called the Kavanah Kollel. Some of the greatest names that today are everyday household names learned in that Kavanah Kollel. If I remember correctly, Rabbi Avraham Kamenetsky learned there. This is already a couple generations after. But this was founded by Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. I believe that Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan Spector was also involved. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was engaged in raising funds for it. And at one point, some of his Talmidim saw that he had sat down with a penniless pauper and was giving him his whole pitch. Mamish, like he was meeting a philanthropist in his office, hoped to get a dedication of a building, right? He was sitting with this guy and giving the whole pitch. This was a guy who couldn't afford patches for his torn knees, in his pants, right? But he still sounds sitting, Mamish giving the whole pitch. Okay, what did the guy decide? And it could be that he decided that he was going to commit to a half a kopek in installments over 2 years. Okay, so somebody, the minister of Yisrael Salanter, afterwards, he said, what did you want from him? What was the idea? So Yisrael Salanter said, what did I want from him? I wanted him to long to give. Right? I wanted him to be wishing he could give, to be dying he could give. That's what I wanted from him. This is the point that the Chovas HaLevavos is bringing out here. Let's appreciate that. And this Rabbi Avigdor Miller made a very big deal about this in his great arichus on the whole sugya of Bechira. Bechira is a big, broad discussion which goes a lot beyond just you're facing a situation, do I choose the right thing or the wrong thing? He said that there's a lot of Bechira that's meant to happen in our minds. That a person wants to bring himself to a place where I desire certain things, and even though right now I'm in a position where I can't do it, but my desire is so strong that should it become relevant, I will do it. Now, what do you accomplish by getting yourself there? The answer is that you have accomplished, if you really bring yourself to a place, the only thing holding me back is the fact that I don't have the money, but if I did, I'm using that as an example, I understand that it applies to everything, right? If I did, I would do it, then you're actually going to be rewarded for that level of Bechira. Now, we have to go to the other direction also. A person says, okay, no, I decided I want to do it. I actually do own $18, and I am going to give them to tzedakah. So I made the decision. I come home, and I pick up those $18, and I head out to shul. But you know what? There's a pizza shop on the way. I get stuck. I trip over the pizza shop. I have myself a good meal, but I decide I really wanted to. I did make that decision. I'm going to get that schar. Sorry. Right? That's not going to happen. Because you will get here we're going to differentiate between the different levels. You'll get the reward for the desire. But it's going to be a very minimal level, relatively. That's not really called the decision. The decision plays out in, I'll give you an example. This is a mashal that I think of for this concept of what do we call a decision that Hashem didn't enable to happen. It doesn't mean that you simply didn't have the koach that day. It was hard to get out. It was when we made our chasana, we met up with our daughter 2 years ago. One of my very close friends from Yerushalayim didn't show up. And talking to them, whatever it is, they didn't show up. And okay, well, Baruch Hashem, we're not the types to sit down after the chasana and stop figuring out who was there, who wasn't there. But the next day, we got a call from them. They said they really wanted to come. Now, I often really want to go places and just don't. It's just too hard to get out, etc. You know what happened? They were on the road at the end, and he lost vision for a moment, and they actually rode onto one of these roadblocks, and the car was kind of impaled on the road. They sent us pictures of the car, like, kind of standing up, upright on the roadblock. They were all okay, Baruch Hashem, but it took an hour to get the car off, and then by that time, I think of that as the example of, that's the case where you get the reward for the full-fledged decision to actually do it, right? But this is the idea, right? I'm bringing it out in a humorous way, but this is the idea, meaning that you spared no effort. That is the gauge. That is what shows that your decision really was full, wholehearted, and that you deserve to get that reward. I'll apply it to another area, the Bechira aspect. Rachman al-Itzlan, there are many sick people. Right? Talking to myself here, this is, we want to heal them all, right? We have that Bechira, we have that Ratzon, we have that Haskama. We want to go and heal them all. Why don't we? Well, I haven't learned medicine. It looks like even some people who did learn medicine are struggling to do it. It's not so posh. But where can you actually channel that Ratzon and that Haskama in davening? That is one means where you are given an opportunity to have that impact. So it's more than just, it's more than just davening. There isn't such a thing as just davening. But here, let's understand that there's that added significance of, if I'm really putting in those heartfelt tefillos, what he's showing you is, I've made this bechira, and I am channeling whatever means I do have at my disposal, I am putting into getting this done. So these are various areas where we're seeing that there's such a thing as bechira of things that at the moment I can't actually do. There's still such a thing as bechira. Okay. Now let's move further in the Chavis HaVavis and see how this goes further. Now, if a person decides, am I supposed to be dedicating myself to Avodas Hashem? I don't know. Let's see what Hashem has in store for me. So if a person just decides, here he becomes a very great Baal Bitochen, and he says, I'm leaving it up to Hashem to decide whether I should dedicate myself to his service. And he says, I'm not going to choose or decide to do anything in the realm of Avodas Hashem until Hashem makes that decision for me. Let me feel that inspiration. Let me feel it. Then I'll do it. So this person has strayed from the straight path. His legs have failed him on the right way. Because Hashem has instructed us that it's up to us to decide to engage in his avodah, and to actually channel that decision into true efforts and that full-fledged, concrete decision, the Shmai Agado, for his sake. He told us that that is where your success in Elam Hazeh and Elam Haba lies, in deciding, in the realization that that bechira, that decision is up to you, placed squarely on you. Don't leave that in Hashem's realm. That part of it, the desire and the determination, the decision, and then taking the next step and putting everything you have into it, then Hashem says, I place that squarely on you. Now, the im yizdam no asibos, and if Hashem actually sets up the circumstances right, the tochen gvar hamaisa b'avayosa asher kodma b'chiraseinu ba, and you actually do successfully complete that maisa, you know, that deed that you decided to do. So yelanu ascha hagodol. You will get greatly rewarded for desiring that act, and for deciding to do it, right? There's these three layers. And for actually carrying it out physically. But if lamaisa, physically, you weren't able to actually carry it out, you will be rewarded for the desire to do it, for the decision to do it, as we've already discussed. And the same goes for punishment for an avera. If a person decides that he wants to do the avera, he did everything he can to get it done, but he was held back, so he'll be held accountable for that decision also. Now, I want to make two points here. First of all, is that it seems that it's not the same level. Meaning the person who actually did the deed, he called it schar hagodol, very great reward. And the person who did everything he could but was held short, he says that he's rewarded for that. Meaning we always do want to daven for the siyata d'shmaya to actually have it carried out entirely, but still, don't downplay the accomplishment of the fact that I wanted to do it, that I would have liked to do it. And I'll add another point. Sometimes you're in a situation where it's even uncomfortable not to end up getting it done. Let's say your neighbor is going through a hard time and you really would like to do everything you can for them. Really would like to, the way we said before, not that, maybe next week or something, but the person really liked everything again, but it's just really simply was not possible. So here, you weren't actually granted the schus of getting it done, but you know what? There's also a certain uncomfortable feeling there. It's like, you feel like, a lot of times it's like that a person feels like funny from the other person. We already saw earlier that the Chodesh Lavavos made the point that if someone asks you to help them out in some way and you couldn't manage to do it, you tried, you sincerely tried, but you weren't successful. So this is where Bitachon comes into play also. He says, inform the person of your desire to have wanted to help. And after that, you acknowledge and accept that this is how Hashem set it up. So the truth is that to realize that there's schar in that itself, to accept, sometimes it's very frustrating. I so much wanted to do it. It's frustrating. It's embarrassing. I couldn't get it done. You know what? Realize that this is itself a test from Hashem. The test to be able to realize that Hashem says, this was from me. I appreciate the fact that you made these efforts. Now, can you accept that I didn't want it done? And approach that with bitachon also. Approach the fact that my neighbor would have been so appreciative and now it's even a little bit uncomfortable. Appreciate that also was what Hashem intended, and be able to accept that too.
So you have the desire, you have the intent, and Hashem chooses whether or not you can actually carry it out. Now it seems to say that if he decides you can carry it out, you get a bigger reward than if he decides you can't carry it out. Is that correct?
I'm not sure, but it does seem that way. Meaning, and that's what I'm trying to round out here. I'm not sure, but it does seem that way. It seems that Hashem does reward a person more if he actually managed to do it. Why should it be that way? Why is that fair? I'm not sure. But I'll make a couple of points in this regard. And number one is the point that I was making now, that you can perhaps, I'm suggesting this based on other things we learned in the Torah Sulamis, round it out. Sometimes the fact that you didn't manage to get the schar for the accomplishment, you can round it out with the schar of the acceptance. And perhaps maybe that actually catches you up to the schar of the accomplishment, or maybe even takes it further. So that's number one. Hashem says, here, I'm stopping you short here. How are you going to respond? What now? Right? That's number one. That's one point that to make. And number two is that we find the concept, and again, I'm not sure how this works exactly. I don't like to, you know, just make assertions if it can't. Ashkafa, sometimes people feel is like kind of like putty. You can do whatever you want with it. You know, say if it sounds right, sounds nice, feels good. Things have to be solidly based. So I'm making a suggestion based on sources that we find. Although I'm not saying this, I can't really give you a concrete understanding of this, but that there is such a concept as that sometimes whether Hashem will actually enable you to get something done or not will depend on your previous performance. The more you try, the more you perform, the more opportunities Hashem actually gives you. So therefore, sometimes when a person is sincerely trying to do something and gets cut short, Hashem says, okay, good, you made that effort. And that is actually going to bring you a step closer to me providing you with opportunities to actually do things. Sometimes it works that way also, that whether a person will succeed or not succeed in doing something will depend on previous performance. So those are two possible perspectives on how to approach this issue of why would it not be exactly the same level of schar. Okay. Now, the Gemara actually tells us, he said the same goes for an Avera also. Obviously, if you decided to do the Avera, and successfully got it done, we can expect full reward, right, in the next world. But here he's telling us that the same goes for the decision also. So this is an interesting twist in the Gemara on this, that the Gemara says that Hashem gives us the benefit of the doubt that, let's say I decided to do an Avera, Shalom, I tried and I didn't manage to get it done. So the Gemara says Hashem gives us, his children, the benefit of the doubt that you didn't manage to get it done, but it's more than that. It's that had it really come down to it, you would have backed off at the last minute. Hashem gives us that benefit of the doubt. And therefore, Hashem actually, even though we said that the choice to do it, the desire to do it, the decision to do it is punished, that's only after a certain stage. Initially, Hashem says, you probably wouldn't have done it anyways, right? I stopped you. But you probably wouldn't have done it anyways, right? And therefore, I'm going to let you off. But the Gemara says, once a person actually does do the Avera a couple of times, he's already proven that, no, I would do it. I'm serious about this. I would do it. From that point on, if he decides to do it, if he actually makes the decision, and then is held back, he will be held accountable for the decision. Okay. We move on. He says something very interesting here, making an obvious but interesting distinction. He says, basically what we're saying is that with mitzvahs and averus, it's kind of the same as with all of our lives, and that is that you do the hishtadlus, and what actually is supposed to happen remains up to Hashem. Right? It's kind of where it comes back to. You do the hishtadlus, and let Hashem decide on the effects. So we've kind of brought it back into the general realm of everything in life, in this sense. He says, yet there's a difference. With other areas, sometimes the hishtadlus can get a little confusing. You don't necessarily always see clearly which hishtadlus is going to lead to what. You don't necessarily see whether this ishtadlus is better, that ishtadlus is better, which ishtadlus is going to lead to where. You also don't necessarily know. Sometimes something that looks like a good idea could lead you to a bad result. Make an investment that seems really great, and it just causes a great loss. So when it comes to the material, there aren't rules as to this hishtablis leads you to success. Shem says, you do the hishtablis, leave the end result to me, right? That's why the whole thing of Ishtalis always has a certain ambiguity surrounding it. Always has a certain lack of clarity, a certain lack of clarity. Even though, as we've seen, it could be clearer than people tend to think. But there's always a certain question mark surrounding Ishtalis. We can't ever really determine in an absolute way, right? Nobody has actually finally laid down the golden formula to how do you actually become rich? How do you actually, what is the guaranteed path to success? We just see that that's Hashem says, sorry, I'm not letting go of the strings. So at the end of the day, you can't really determine that. There's no way to truly determine what is it that will guarantee me parnasa, health, or other good things. There's never a clear-cut path. What is it? What investment? What route? What actions will actually bring you material success? Therefore, you need bitachon, even in this stage of trying to figure out which route should I take. You need to be davening to Hashem, help me figure out the right decision, right? And certainly when it comes to actually carrying it out. What we need is assistance to help him reach the benefit that we're aiming for. After we put in the efforts, we have to ask Hashem to help us find the right one. But this is the difference where it comes to success in Ruchnius. Success in Ruchnius, you don't need to wonder, what is it that's going to bring me spiritual success? It's all laid out for you. And therefore, your success is guaranteed. Avodas HaBorei Yisbach Einen Okeh. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, it isn't like that. Because he told us, he gave us instructions, do this. Once you do what Hashem said, you have succeeded. You are spared figuring out what it is. And I want to bring out a little bit more the significance of that. We have to realize quite how pampered we are spiritually. Before Matan Torah, let's put it this way, in the days of Avraham Avinu, Olam Hazeh can be taken at two levels. Either Olam Hazeh begins and ends with Olam Hazeh. Right? And then, we've said here how it was a depressing discovery when I was 5 years old, I forgot exactly what age it was, that everybody dies. It's a depressing discovery. I resisted it. I wasn't with God, even me. Right? As a little kid, it's like, you don't want to. But you know what? When we grow to understand that for a cat, it's true, right? It begins and ends with the material existence, and that's it. It's over with that. But we are given the keys to access that. Actually, it's the next stage where life really begins, and that's the eternal life. That's really where it all starts. Death is not the end. Death is kind of like, if you will, the end of a pregnancy, right? So, the kid's gone. Where is he? He started life. He's actually just starting now. And that's really what distinguishes us, right? We are not like the families of the earth, meaning those who come out of the earth and go back into the earth, and it's basically all about that. It's all about those, we'll call it 150 years. By us, we have access. And this is, okay, we don't have time to really get into this now, but this is largely a lesson of the Parah Aduma, That's why Tumas Meis is so chamor, because it's one of the most misleading impressions in the world, as though it ended now, and it actually really is just starting. This is when life really, really begin to live life in full quality, the full effect. Any experience of pleasure that we have now in this world is really just a very diluted, watered down sense of pleasure. The body doesn't really have the capacity to experience full pleasure. It all starts then. Now, who would actually get it? So until the time of Avraham Avinu, you had to figure it out completely from scratch. Most people didn't even try, meaning a person is born into this world, there was no manual, no instructions given as to how do you actually access Olam Haba. Most people were born, didn't think about it too much. Pretty early on, they discovered that they have taste buds. It didn't take much longer to discover that a good piece of steak and taste bud is a good shidduch. And once they made that discovery, then they had all their lives laid out for them. That's basically what the rest of life is about. And for the vast, vast, vast majority of mankind, we're talking about much, much more than 99%. We're talking about 10 generations, basically. Nobody accessed that secret. Nobody accessed that secret. Nobody bothered to think about it. There were individuals who did. They thought about it, accessed it to a certain extent. Avraham Avinu was the one who actually accessed it entirely. But it was a lifetime career of working hard to determine what's the secret behind the Olam Hazeh. There must be something more to it. And trying to determine there must be a creator. That was a years-long process into figuring that out. And then there is a creator. What does he want? What was his purpose? What does he value? What will please him? Years of thought into trying to determine that. And he went from one stage to the other, discovering a broad value, then breaking it down to its elements and dedicating himself to it. Until he actually brought himself to a place where he had discovered the keys and had figured out the full program of connecting with Hashem and connecting with the beyond, everything that's beyond this world. And he taught it. And it was in the reward of his efforts that Hashem said, you know what, for your seed, they're not going to have to go through this struggle, and it'll be one in thousands who will actually access it. I'm going to grant your family as a gift the full instruction manual, Kibiyachal, of how to do it to a T, how to access it all the way. And this is what the Chavos HaLevavot is telling us here. Let's appreciate that gift that we have at our fingertips, the guaranteed instruction set for success. Follow these paths. You don't have to wonder, was this the right decision? Was it not the right decision? It was the right decision. And you've got it. You've got it. And we're adding now, regardless of what the actual material results were. Follow these instructions, apply yourself to them. You got it. That's all. That's why the Chafetz Chaim made such a big deal about that understanding, that when it comes to learning Torah, and this is true for everything, as we're saying here, it's not about at the end of the day that I understand it. It's about, did you apply yourself to it? You did? That's it. You got it. That is the accomplishment. So we are mamish in mid-sentence. I guess we'll have to start in mid-sentence next week. I'm going to...